In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. All right, everyone got a handout, right? Okay. Last week we started off a new series, and if you were here, you know that we talked about a very important subject. We talked about, what did we talk about last week? Stewardship, very good. And we said, if we want to define stewardship, how can we define it? What does it mean that we were called to stewardship? One sentence. Very good. God's the owner, we're the manager. Everything that we have, our money, our time, our resources, our energy, our family, our church, our fathers, the priests, everything, those things, God's the owner, we're just the managers, okay? He made everything, and he's like the owner of the store, and he just leaves us in charge for a little bit of time. Now, what we're going to talk about today is based on that fact that we are called to be stewards, that we are called to live a life of stewardship. We have to talk about a subject which none of us like to talk about, which is giving. Okay? And it's a subject that I especially don't like to talk about. I hate to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it today. The reason I hate to talk about it is because I, more than anyone else, at least in my own opinion, have been burned by these sob stories, by these people calling you on the phone making you feel guilty, by these things in the mail with the pictures and all that kind of stuff, and suckered into giving more money to more organizations than anyone else. Okay? Every day I receive at least one request for money. At least one organization. I made the mistake one time, a long time ago, of saying yes. You know, the retired police officers or the little children without family. I don't know what it is. I said yes to one of them and I gave them a $10 commitment or whatever it was. And ever since then, the floodgates have been opened. So everyone calls me with their sob story and why I should give them money and make me feel guilty. And the police are going to come after you if you don't have the sticker on your car and all this kind of stuff. So the last thing I want to do is things. I've been burned by those sales pitches so many times. I don't want you to think I'm coming to you with a sales pitch. I'm not going to come to you with an emotional plea to give. I'm not going to come to you with some sob story about how we need your money and all that kind of stuff. All right? What we're going to talk about today is we're going to look biblically and see what the Bible says about the idea of giving. Okay? The idea being that you can leave here and hopefully you can evaluate all those requests that you get in the mail, all the things that are pulling at your money. Based on what the Bible says, you can evaluate all those requests and see what is true biblical giving is all about. Now, we have to start off this discussion understanding that the essence of Christianity is giving. The essence of Christianity is giving. If you want to know what Christ came to earth to do, he came to give his life as a ransom for many. And if you want to know how much God the Father loves me and you, you would say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Giving is the essence of love, and giving is the essence of who God is and who our Lord Jesus Christ is. So when our Lord commands us to give, remember we said we were made in his image. He wants us to be like him. So if he's the best giver of all time, and he wants us to be like him, then it only makes sense that giving is part of our life. And we have to learn how to give like God gives. The word give is used in the Bible over 1,500 times. The word give is used in the Bible. Every time it's used, the most important thing to understand is that God doesn't care about the amount of our giving, but he cares about the attitude. Okay? It's not how much we give, but how we give that our Lord is interested in. It's the quality, not the quantity of the gift. The Bible teaches us that if you have a bad attitude about giving, and if you don't want to give, and if you're bitter, and if you're resentful because you give money, don't give. Don't waste your time. Because you're wasting your money and you're not even getting a blessing for it. You're not even getting the reward from it. Because the reward comes when you're giving cheerfully and not giving bitterly. So giving is a responsibility that we as Christians have. But if that's all we discuss today is the responsibility of giving, you'd be bored, I'd be bored, all of us would be bored, and no one would benefit at all. We're going to try to talk today about not how giving is a responsibility, but giving is an opportunity. Okay? Giving is an opportunity for me to get something in return. Opportunity for me to grow somehow. Opportunity for me to benefit. The Bible says that when you give, there should be three reasons to give. Okay? We're going to discuss them. One, two, three on there. What's important is none of these reasons is because you were manipulated. None of these reasons is because you heard an emotional plea. None of these reasons is because you felt guilty because, you know, you got that phone call or you got that thing in the mail. The Bible says that you should give. We'll just, like, I'll run through them quickly and we'll discuss them in detail. For the past, present, and future. For your past blessings, for your present, your present motives, and for your future blessings. We'll talk about them each in detail. But the important thing to understand is that's all. I'm not going to tell you to give for any other reason. I'm not going to tell you to give because God needs it. I'm not going to tell you to give because you feel guilty. If you want to look at giving in the Bible, there's two chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, where the focus of those two chapters is all about giving. So right now we're going to look at different passages within those two chapters to see what kind of giving we are called to have in life. We'll try to answer the question on your handout, why should I give to God? Does God need my money? Is God poor? Does God want me to be poor? Why should I give my money to God? Hopefully we'll try to figure that out today. The first verse at the top of your handout is a good summary of it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 says, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." This grace, meaning he's talking about giving in this whole chapter. So we're going to start off the discussion by seeing that giving is not something separate. Okay, it mixes in with all the other virtues. So the same way St. Paul wants us to grow in patience and in love and in fellowship and in kindness, giving is another one of the virtues that we as Christians are called to grow in. Okay, just like any other virtue. So, now specifically, why should I give to God? The first reason that you should give to God according to the Bible is to express appreciation for past blessings. Express appreciation for past blessings. This is the first and greatest reason that the Bible says that we should be generous and giving to God to express our appreciation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says, "So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." We give to God because He first gave to us. We give to Him. Each one of us, the verse is telling us, is supposed to sit down, see what we've been given, see what we've received, and then on purpose and deliberately decide how much we want to give. Look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." We give because He first gave to us. Let me make this practical for you in case you don't understand it. September 11th marks a very important day in lots of people's lives, but in my life more than other people's. Most people on September 11th will commemorate, you know, the tragedy that happened a few years ago. I will commemorate that tragedy as well, but over and above that, I'll commemorate not another tragedy, another glorious day. It's my wife's birthday. Okay, my wife's birthday is September 11th. September 11th is coming up. Now, I guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, and all of you would put your money down on it as well, that on September 11th, there'll be a present with my name on it from me to my wife, Marianne. Okay? No doubt about it. 100%. Why? Why am I going to give my wife a present?
Because you love her.
Because I love her? Okay. What else?
Appreciation.
Because I appreciate all the stuff she does for me. And because I care about her, all that kinds of stuff. If I didn't know her, okay, some of you, birthday may be coming up soon. I'm not going to probably give you a present because I may not know you. I may not appreciate anything you've ever done. But the point is that if we really appreciate someone and there's an opportunity, a birthday or a Christmas or whatever that comes up, we like to give them a gift because it expresses our appreciation for them. Well, it's the same thing with God. If you had a relationship with God and you appreciate stuff He's done for you, you want to give. And it's not a burden. And you're not doing so out of fear or out of, you know, any kind of anxiety or anything like that. You're doing so because you love so. And that's the ideal in marriage. You're giving because you want to give, not because you're scared. Yes, Dave?
At the same time, doesn't she expect it? So if you don't give it, it's almost like you're letting her down.
Okay. Dave brings up a good question, which doesn't really relate so much to the topic, but it's a good question.
Doesn't God look at it the same way?
Okay, the question was, for those of you who couldn't hear it, doesn't she expect the gift? So therefore, she's going to be upset if I don't give it to her. That's what you're saying, right? Well, okay, yes and no. Because what she expects, or what we can say that God expects, you know, we'll leave Marianne out of this for the time being. What God expects from us is love. Okay? What He wants from us is love. He wants appreciation. He wants gratitude. He doesn't want money. He doesn't need money. But He knows that we as human beings, if we really, really loved Him, we put our money where our mouth is, because that's what we really care about. So we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll discuss that. Hold on to that, and we'll get to that. But the important thing is that what He wants is what's behind the gift, just like what the wife wants. The wife doesn't just want any gift. It could be the most expensive gift. If it's just, you know, thrown at her from across the room and saying, here, take it, you know, it's not going to be of any value to her. So when we give, we express our appreciation for God. Look at the next verse on your handout, 2 Corinthians 8:8. St. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Expressing that same thing. He's not saying, I'm not ordering you, I'm not commanding you to give because you got to give. I just want to see how sincere your love is. Show me how much you love. Show me, you know, how much you truly care. Jerry Maguire taught us something very nice. That if you truly want to prove something, you will show me the money. Okay? It's the same thing. Show me the money. If you truly care, prove it. Do something about it. Don't just talk. So the bottom line is, no matter what we say with our mouth, money is what talks. All right? So it's the same thing with our relationship with God. So the first reason that we give to God, not because I'm guilty or not because I'm scared or anything like that, but to express my appreciation for what happened in the past. Above and beyond that, the second reason we should give to God is to examine my motivation in the present. Examine my motivation in the present. We said last week that giving, when we give our tithe to church, it's a good time out for us. It's a good time out to remember, wait a minute, not everything belongs to me. And the money belongs to God. And when I have to write that check every single month, I take 2 seconds to remember, okay, my money doesn't belong to me. So it helps remind me of that essential fact. In general, we as human beings are selfish by nature. We are self-centered. We think about me and my money and my house and my stocks and my rights and my this and my that. Giving allows us to take a time out of our day and to check our values. Where is my value? What are my priorities? Am I always saying me, 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 mine, 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 mine? Or am I thinking about God? Am I living for myself or living for God? Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Our Lord says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When our Lord commands us, or when the Bible commands us to give, it's not, again, because God is poor, God needs our money. It's so that we can take some time out to see where it is that we stand, to make sure that we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Because if you don't take time out to give, you're going to get so caught up in that rat race, in that hoarding enough money for yourself, and all kinds of selfishness and stuff like that, and you're going to forget about what's really important in life. You're going to stop seeking first the kingdom of God. I know couples who, when they get married, okay, one of the biggest struggles for couples when they get married is financial. Right? Usually it's a burden with the wedding and the honeymoon and the ring and all that kind of stuff. So couples usually struggle a lot at first. And I know young couples who struggled so much with finances, but they insisted that God always gets paid first. Before the bills get paid, God gets paid. But even though they were strong of faith, they would doubt at times. They'd say, wait a minute, God, is this really what you want? Don't you want me to pay my bills? Don't you want me to live out of debt? You don't want me to be in this. Okay, do you really want me to give to you first? And they felt that God was answering them by saying, you missed the whole point. Of course, I don't want your money. Of course, I don't need your money. What I want is what it represents. And like I was saying earlier, your money represents your life. Because what's important to you, you spend money on. So the things that you spend your money on proves your love, and that's what God wants from you. He wants your love. He wants your life. He wants to be first place in everything. Okay? He's a jealous God, as we said before. He doesn't want to share with anything else. And that's what St. Paul teaches us it should be our way of giving. Look at the next verse. 2 Corinthians 8:5. He's bragging about the Corinthians and how they gave. And he says, and not only as we had hoped, meaning you didn't give just as much as we had hoped, but they gave first themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. First they gave of themselves to the Lord. They gave their life. They gave their everything that they had, and then they gave to us, meaning financially. So that's good news and bad news for us. The good news there, okay, God is basically saying, if you don't want to give me your life, and you're not willing to give me all that you have, and all your priorities, then I don't want your money. Don't waste your time. So that's good news if you're greedy and all you want is money, you're giving bitterly, but that's bad news if you're on the other end of it. We need to give to God to keep us from being Scrooges. And we need to give to God regularly to keep us from being selfish. If you're not giving to God regularly, and if you're not regularly giving, you run a very, very severe risk of being a very self-centered person, of thinking the whole world revolves around you. And the most important thing is your comfort, and your money, and your this, and your new car, and your new house, and all that kind of stuff. If you don't believe me, and don't believe that there's a link between the two, you say, no, I can keep all my money, and I can still pray, I can still go to church, I can still take communion, I can still do all that kind of stuff. There's no link between my spiritual life and my stewardship life. True or false? False. Look at the next verse. Luke 16:11 says, this is our Lord speaking, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? One definitely influences the other. If you're not faithful in money and the wicked things, why would I give you the more precious things? If you can't manage a group, a team of two people, why would I make you a CEO of a company of 1,000 people? Right? Sometimes we grow stagnant in our spiritual life and we kind of hit a plateau. We say, I'm not growing, and you know, everything's boring, and you feel like your spiritual life isn't really going anywhere. Well, I'm telling you, if you haven't addressed this area of stewardship and of giving, you should definitely take a look here, because this could be a major stall point in your spiritual life. And as long as you are not giving regularly and giving generously, then you are never going to get past that point spiritually. Okay? So if you're at that point in your life where you feel like your prayer is dead and there's no answer to your prayers, and all the bad habits and the sins, and you have no victory, and you're weak, and you're depressed, and you're all that kinds of stuff, you need to take a serious look at about your giving routine and to see what you've done with stewardship. As we said, stewardship, another way we've been looking at it is lordship. Okay, when you declare your stewardship and you practice it, basically you're declaring God as the Lord of your life. He's the master. He's the number one priority. So definitely that has effect on your spiritual life. Okay? So we give first to express our appreciation for the past. We give second to examine our motivation in the present, and we give third to enlarge our expectations of the future. Enlarge our expectations of the future. This is the good one. This is the one we really benefit the most. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:6. St. Paul is still talking about giving, and he gives us an analogy here of a farmer. He says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Very simple analogy. It makes sense. If I'm a farmer and I go out in the whatever time you're supposed to plant seeds, and I put one seed in there and I come back at harvest time, what am I expecting? At most one fruit. Probably not. I mean, there's some that don't, you know, I'm not expecting much. Let's say I'm a farmer and I go out and plant a gazillion. I plant a fillion seeds in the ground. What I come back expecting? A lot, right? Same thing with God. If you plant zero in your giving, if you give very, very little, and you come back and say, I want God to give me all the blessings, and I expect to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and I expect everything to work out perfectly for me, then you're a fool. You're exactly like someone going, planting one seed, and expecting an orchard to come up. Okay? It doesn't work like that. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. You want nothing out of life? Don't give. You want a lot? Give a lot. That's the principle that it applies here. Why? Because, again, giving is the number one way to demonstrate your faith in God, your trust in God. Put your money where your mouth is. Nothing is more important to us than our money, and that's why we have to give that up if we want God's blessing. Yes, Eddie?
So basically, if I drop a fat check at the church, I should be expecting some big returns.
All in favor? No, because we said it's not the amount that you give, but the way you give. Okay? So the giving should be generous, and the giving should be done in faith, but the giving should not be to get something. The giving should be out of love.
What if it is out of love and good intentions?
Okay. If it is out of good intention, then yeah, you should expect something from God. Stock market to be big, is that what you should expect? You should expect a promotion at work? No, you should expect the blessing of the Lord upon your life.
But more blessing, because I have given more money from my heart, of course.
In a sense, yeah. Because you're giving more of your life.
So you know, your analogy of the seed and the orchard kind of thing.
Right. You should expect more, and that's what we're saying here. But what I thought you were asking, if you're expecting more physically, monetarily back.
That too.
No. Because that's not the way the Lord gives. Yes, if you give more, not just money, if you give more time, if you give more of your heart, if you give more of your energy, you give more faith, the more you give to God, yeah, the more you get back. That's generally the principle. And applies with money as well. Same with my talents. If I have a talent for singing, okay, the more that I sing for God's glory, yeah, the more I expect God's blessing in my life. And that's the principle that God taught us. But God's blessing doesn't mean promotions at work or stock market goes up or anything like that. Okay? But in general, the more you give to God, the more He gives to you. A way that you can kind of look at it, it's like a deposit. Okay? It's like a deposit on what is it called? You put something? Down payment. Okay. If you don't put anything in, you don't expect to get anything out. No one goes to the stock market who's put zero money in and expects, okay, I made it rich today. No, you didn't invest anything in the stock market. Okay? Same thing with God. If you don't invest anything in God, don't expect God to give you all the riches of the world and all peace and all joy and all that kind of stuff. If you want something, you have to give first. So, how am I supposed to give? How do I make this down payment or this deposit? Or as the Bible says, how do I lay up for myself treasures in heaven? Well, it's simple. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Our Lord teaches that whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. How do you lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven? Just give. It's that simple. Don't make it more complicated. Don't think of it as formulas and all that kind of stuff. Just give. Even if it's just a cup of cold water. Our Lord is saying, if it's done in love and it's done the right way, then you'll be rewarded for it. You'll get something back from it. That's really, 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 really good return on investment. Okay? You stock people out there, you financial people or whatever, talk about return on investment and interest rates and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, you trade in a cup of cold water, reward in heaven. Which is bigger? What's the percentage rate of return on that? Like a gazillion. Cup of cold water. Nothing. Anyone get a cup of cold water. And I'm telling you, rewards in heaven like this. That's a really, really, really good rate, and no bank pays a better rate than God pays out. Look at the next verse. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. God is saying, try me. You don't believe me? Try me. Give me some food. Bring some food into my storehouses and watch what happens. The windows of heaven are going to open up and pour out such a blessing, there may not be room enough to receive it. God can't even describe it with words, the amount of blessing that's going to happen. He's saying, I'm going to open up heaven, and it's going to rain down blessing upon you. If you don't believe me? Try me. And that's the challenge to you. Try God. You don't believe him? Try him. Don't listen to a word I have to say. Go test God out and see if it's true or not, and come back and let me know. The bottom line is that your giving determines what God does for you. How much you give determines how much God does. All right? The more you give your life to God, the more God does for you. Lots of times we're in problems or we're in troubles or whatever, and we say, when is God going to come down and save me? When is God going to fix this? Well, I got news for you. You're not waiting for God. God is the same always. God's the one who's waiting for you. Maybe God's waiting for you to give more. Maybe God's waiting for you to give a little more trust, a little more faith. He's waiting for you to rely on Him and stop relying on yourself. Don't blame it on God. He's not the one. We're not waiting for Him. So the question that I ask to you is, what are you expecting God to do in your life? Think about it. How much blessing do you want in your life? How much do you want God to work? Okay, the school year is starting up soon. Next week, or some of you even this week. What do you want God to do for you this year? Do you expect God to do anything? Do you expect God's help in any way? Do you expect God to be with you? How much do you expect from him? Determine how much you want from him, how much you expect from him, how much you want the harvest to be, and then go give that amount. Go plant enough seeds to get the amount of harvest back that you want. Because the Bible teaches us that what we reap is what we sow. Okay? That's why lots and lots and lots of promises in the Bible deal with this idea of giving. Okay? Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38 on the back of your handout. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Who's saying this? Is this a salesman? Is this that fireman company, that fireman guy that called me on the phone? Is this that policeman's association? Who's this saying this, that give and will be given back to you? Okay, I know the salesman on the phone say it all the time. That give and know, you'll see the benefits and, you know, you'll get the 10% coupon, all that kind of stuff. And I fall for it every time. But who is it that's saying this? A salesman? A lawyer? No, this is God. He's saying, give and it will be given to you. It can't be more simple than that. Not only give and it will be given to you, but what's going to come back to you? Good measure, pushed down, shaken together, running over, overflowing. More than you gave, you're going to get back. You can't... Go ahead, Sharif.
What's that part mean? Press down, shaken together.
Basically, in general, it means you're going to get more back than you put in. Okay? It's going to be overflowing. The idea is here that sometimes we get scared of one thing. That I'm going to give, and God's not going to give back. We get scared of that. Let's be honest. We think that if I give, and give, and give, then one day God's going to abandon me. Because everyone else dogs me, and everyone else abandons me, and everyone else stabs me in the back. So why should God be any different? I know when I need it, when money's tight, and when things is tough, and my wife is yelling at me about the bills, where's God going to be? I got to look out for myself.
I think we're taught to give out of obedience and not expect anything. That's the way I was taught. I mean, I've never expected anything out of giving tithes or donation. Isn't that the way it should be? Or?
Not expecting anything physically, yeah.
And we, at all, though. I mean, I thought it was just out of obedience. It's God's money.
Right.
You're giving him, for example, 10% back. It's his money. The whole thing is his money anyway.
That's true. But in general, we as human beings, even when we say we're not giving for anything back, like in a bottom line, like we're still expecting something. Okay? And it's exactly like, okay, again, go back to the wife example. That when I give to my wife, maybe I'm not looking anything for anything in return. But in a sense, you are, because you want that loving relationship and things like that. I don't want a gift back, but I want that feeling of love. Okay? It's the same thing with God. God gives to us. God wants us to give back. We want that feeling of love there. But the idea of being scared that God's not going to give back one day is no good. There's no way in a million years that you can outgive God. It's not possible. God is all about giving. We are all selfish. If you gave everything you had, God could still outgive you by 100 times. Okay? So never ever have that fear that you're going to outgive God. We have to be, the bottom line of all this, we have to be consistent in our giving. We have to be consistent in what we say. Lots of times, we're inconsistent. We say when it comes to God, yeah, I can't make any commitments, I can't tie myself down, money's tight, and all this kind of stuff. Then next week, I go and I make a 30-year commitment on my house. And then 3 weeks later, I go and I make a 5-year commitment on a car. And then every time I go to the mall, I make a 30-day commitment on whatever I spend my money on. But then when it comes to God, you know, we need to be flexible, we don't know what's going to happen, the economy, and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't work that way. You can't do that with God. If I trust myself enough to make a payment on a house, if I trust myself enough to make a payment on my car, my credit card, I better be trustworthy enough in God's eyes to make my payment to God and to give to God. In general, there's two kinds of ways that we give. There's giving by reason and giving by revelation. Giving by reason is what most of us do, and it's not the right way. Giving by reason means go home, look at my monthly expenses, calculate this and calculate that, and then come back to a bottom line number of what I can afford to give. What can I afford to give and still be okay and still be comfortable and still get cable TV, you know, and things like that. That's not the right way. The right way is to look at it from the other end. Go to the end of the maze first and work your way backward. Give by revelation. Go and say, how much does God want me to give? How much does God want me to trust Him? How much does God want me to give of my time, my energy, my money, my everything? And then trust in Him to provide. As long as that's what He wants, He'll take care of the rest. Some people would say, okay, but Abuna Anthony, that would have worked for me, you know, I wish I heard this talk, you know, before I entered college, because as soon as I went to college, those credit card companies, I'm in like all kinds of debt, I'll give when I get out of debt. I can't afford to give now. I would say that if you are in a bunch of debt, and you are struggling with loans and school and work and all kind of stuff, you can't afford not to give, because you need God more than ever. And you're the one who needs to give more than anyone else. The one who's comfortable and everything's working for him, he can at least make an excuse in his mind, you know, he's cool. But the one who's struggling, come on. You know, that's the one who needs to give more than anyone else. They're the ones who need God's help the most. Okay? Again, it's not about the amount we give, but the attitude with which we give. Most famous example of this in the Bible is the story that our Lord told of the widow with the two mites. You all know the story. And I believe her icon actually is in the back there, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, you can check out her icon on the way out. About the lady who gave the two mites. About how the Lord was watching the way she was giving. I'm not going to tell you how much you should give. That's not the point of this discussion. That's your own business. That's between you and God. That's not my business. I'm not here to tell you each one of you needs to drop a check for $100 today. No. It's between you and God how much you give. And in fact, I don't want you to decide today how much you should give. You should not even decide as you're listening to me, I'm going to start giving this much. Because that's not the way giving should be. Because giving is a spiritual thing. It's a virtue that we should grow in. And you shouldn't decide it hastily. You shouldn't decide hastily either to give a lot or not to give a lot. It should be something that you go, you sit down, you pray about it, and you think about it from a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective. Okay? And it's something that you should do with a lot of meditation. Yes?
Are you talking about, like, aside from the 10% tithing?
Above the 10% tithing, yeah. 10% we discussed last week, for those of you who weren't here, we said that's the minimum, that's the bottom line. If you're not doing that, you're stealing from God, and you are a criminal in God's eyes. Okay? Because that belongs to God. Okay? So if you're not giving the 10%, that's criminal. And that's punishable by jail. No, I'm just joking. Not punishable by jail. But that's stealing from God. Okay? That's the equivalent of going to the money box when no one's looking in church, knocking it open and taking some money out. Not giving your 10%. Okay? So what we're talking about is above and beyond that. The thing is, you may be sitting there and being like, holy moly, I don't know if I can do all that. Like, okay, I want to do what's right, but can I really do that? Can I really give more than the 10%? Well, the thing is God never asks you to do something without telling you how to do it and giving you the means to do it. God never comes and says do something which is impossible. He never asks you to do something unless He gives you the tools. So God will not ask you to give more than you can give. Okay? But we have to look at it from His perspective and not ours. And then He gives us specifically how it ought to be done, because God doesn't leave any stone unturned. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, St. Paul writes exactly how it should be done if you want to know how you should give. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." These two verses teach us three important characteristics of the way our giving should be. The first one is that it says on the first day of the week. The first characteristic is that it ought to be regular. Okay? Our giving should be regular on the first day of every week. Meaning it should be systematic. Meaning it should be something which you know it's coming. Meaning that if the economy is up or if the economy is down, if the weather is rainy or if the weather is sunny, or if I'm ill or if I'm healthy, it doesn't matter. The giving is systematic. And it's not something that depends on how my day went at work, or if Abuna was nice to me today, then I'll give more. If he came to visit me in my house, then I'll give. It doesn't work like that. Okay, it's not a tip. Sometimes we think of it as a tip, and if Abuna does a good job, we'll give him a big tip. But even notice, when Abuna does a good job, he gets 10% tip. And the waitresses in the stores get at least 15%, right? So if we're going to tip God and tip the church, that's not the way it works. Okay, it has to be something regular. Not based on your mood or anything like that. First is regular. Second, it ought to be planned. It should be planned. That's why it says, on the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside. Lay something aside. In advance, there's something planned. I know how much I'm going to give. I received this much check. I laid something aside. I planned an amount to be given. Meaning, again, it's not an emotional decision. It's not if the Spirit really moved me. It's not if Abuna made me feel guilty. It's not if the treasurer guy came and approached me after church and I felt like, you know, I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of him. No. It should be something that's planned and that you thought about in advance and you know in advance. The third thing is that it should be proportional. It should be proportional. Meaning that after we get past the 10% we said is the minimum, after that is proportional. We shouldn't all be giving 10%. Why? Because it says, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. Storing up as he may prosper. Meaning, if God has blessed me a lot, I should give a lot. God has blessed me a little, then I should give a little. It shouldn't be that everyone gives the same amount. Each one should give as he or she has prospered in life. Some of you got a big smile on your face. Some of you are broke. Some of you don't got nothing. You're very happy right now. All right, but it's going to come a time when you are going to prosper. And when you do prosper, then it's expected, God is expecting your giving to be proportional. The 10% is just the starting point to giving. If you have never given a percentage, okay, if you giving has never been like this, if it's never been regular and planned and proportional, now is definitely the time to start. Okay, we have to get straight with God in our spiritual life. We have to get straight with Him and start giving proportionally to the amount that we have. If, on the other hand, you're one of the people who's been tithing for years and always giving and giving abundantly, then God is still always calling you to grow more and more in that grace. Okay? Because it's a virtue. And just like patience and love and hope and all that kind of stuff, you can never say, okay, I'm done with love. No more love for me. I'm all loved out. Or you can never say, I'm too patient now. I don't want to be any more patient than I am. Same thing with giving. You can never be too giving when it comes to God. In summary, giving is really, really easy. You do it for three reasons. Appreciation for the past, meaning, God, you gave to me so much. You gave me my life. You gave me my house. You gave me my salvation. You gave me my family. You gave me all this kind of stuff. Express appreciation for that. Number two, to examine my priorities in the present, meaning always making sure that God's number one and making sure that He's always in first place, reminding me that I'm always a manager and not the owner. And three, for the future element, to enlarge my expectations of the future. Again, the goal is not that you walk out of here and dump your whole wallet in the church box upstairs. That's not the goal. Giving, if you didn't understand anything from what I said, understand that your giving is not spontaneous and it's not emotional. It's something that has to be well thought out and well planned. Take time out to ask yourself some important questions. How much do you trust in God? How much do you believe in His promises? Ask yourself, what are your priorities? What's most important to you in life? Ask yourself, how grateful am I to God? And how much has God done for me? And how much do I feel like I owe Him? Use those questions, sit with yourself, and come up with a regular program that's planned and that's proportional. Okay? And in the end, remember that it's not the money that God is after. It's what the money represents, which is our life. Okay? Anyone have any questions? Yes, Sharif. Sharif asked a very important, not question, set of questions, shall we say. Okay? But the essence of his question is how do I know where to give? Okay? Should I just give my money blindly and hope that it goes to God? Should I give to the poor? Should I give? Is that what you're kind of saying? Okay. What we discussed last week is that we have to distinguish between two things, between tithing and charity. There's tithing and then there's charity. There's the amount that you give to God, and that's what we said, that God ordained that from the beginning of creation when He ordained the Old Testament and the law and all that kind of stuff, that He set a group aside, the Levites, and their job was to take care of the temple. And they're not to have jobs, not to do anything. And it's the jobs of the other people to make extra money and give to them. That's tithing. Now, charity is different. Charity is, you know, is amount that you want to give to different organizations or to the poor or to help out your, you know, your brother in Egypt or anything like that. But we can't mix the two up. Okay? Let's say Pat came to me this week and Pat's going through a financial bind and Pat, you know, he needs some help. So I lend him money or I give him money. I don't want anything back. But I say, okay, God, I tithed. Is that my tithe? That's not my tithe. Okay? That has nothing to do with God. Okay, this is between me and Pat. I'm helping Pat out here. So that's not my tithe. So we can't mix the two up. When it comes to how much we're giving to God, we give to the house of God. And of course, the house of God is using it, you know, for God's glory. That means some of it goes to people in Egypt. Some of it goes for the lights here. Some of it goes for the maintenance. Some of it goes to mow the lawn. Some of it goes to keep the water and the faucets clean. Some of it goes, you know, to pay the expenses of the priests. Things like that, okay? It's not our place to determine where that goes. It goes to the house of God, and the house of God, you know, manages that. But then, if you have a specific, like God creates each one of us with specific, like, passions. Like, each one's passionate about something. Some people are passionate about, you know, the homeless. Some people are passionate about, you know, like, HIV research or whatever. And that's great, and that's from God, and you should definitely be generous and be charitable and all that kind of stuff, but don't mix the two up. Okay? Yes, Ring.
This is not like a problem here, but like in other churches that I've visited, like the priest will have like a Mercedes and things like that. And I just wondered, like, if you see that happening, should you like maybe give your money to like another church that might need it?
Okay.
You still give it to your church even though your priest drives a Mercedes and has.
The question is, first of all, the most important thing she said is, this happens in other churches, not this church. is that sometimes she goes to a church and the priest is driving a Mercedes, so should we still give our money to a church where the priest is driving a Mercedes? You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's not our job to determine. Okay? For all we know, that Mercedes could have been given to him by his mother, who just won it on The Price is Right. For all we know. Thing is, it's not our job. I'm not giving to the priest. I'm not giving to a specific, you know, organization or a group. I'm giving to God. Okay? If I am partaking of the spiritual services and the benefits of a church, I should give to that church. Okay? Like, the important thing I'm saying that is because we have to take our own discretion out of it. God wants to make things simple. The best way to look at it is military style. All right, anyone here in the military? Any military? No military. Okay. I've never been in the military, but I always admire the military. I admire the discipline. I admire the order. I admire the way things work. Okay, in the military, the lowest rank is what? It's a private. The private isn't supposed to make any decisions. Okay, I'm sure there were some privates on D-Day who got the orders and were like, I don't think this general knows what he's talking about. I think it's better if we circle around. And some privates would have said that. But the bottom line is, that's not a good soldier. Same thing in God's army. A good soldier doesn't question the orders. Doesn't say, well, you know, it says to give, but, you know, I don't think that this is the right cause or this and that. A good soldier says, give, I give. Okay, and I'm blessed for my obedience. And if a church or a priest or whatever is misusing it, that's between that person and God. Okay? Yes, Sharif.
It's kind of a similar question. Like, we're all in church, right?
Especially,
yes. Like, the Coptic Orthodox church.
Right.
But in general. So, like, if I'm, let's say, like, now this has nothing to do with the priest, but let's say, like, some churches, for instance, like, this church, like, has a gym and it has, like, a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. Other churches, they don't have a building to pray in, they don't have a regular priest, you know, and it's a mess. So, can you give your money to those churches because you feel, well, when we give our money to the church, it doesn't go up to the Pope and then, like, it gets
right.
distributed evenly.
Right.
So, can we use our discretion to make sure it is distributed evenly over the one church?
The question is, very good question, is, okay, some churches, okay, we agree that we have to give to the church. But there's some churches that have a lot of money and some churches that have a little money. So, therefore, maybe I want to help out this little church, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But again, the principle is that if I'm attending a church regularly and if I am partaking of their spiritual services, and I am partaking of even more their physical services, their lighting, their air conditioning, their heating, their parking lot maintenance, and all that kind of stuff, then I have to give something to them. Now, if you want to support other churches, no one's saying no. And if you choose that you want to give, you know, let's say you want to go above and beyond your 10%, so you want to give 10% here, 10% there, that's fine. No one's saying you have to give all your money to this specific church. But the point is, like I said last week, personal advice is when you go, let's say you go on vacation to Maine, of all places. Let's say you go to Maine. Okay? So you're in Maine on vacation, you go to a Coptic church, and you're there for 2 weekends, and you go. Should you give? You should give. Because you're partaking of their services. Okay? So it's the idea of, if I take something, I should give something back. Okay?
But what you are taking from is from God. Mm-hmm. Would you not choose to give your money to the church that uses it very efficiently rather than to use it in luxury?
But again, who gets to make that decision? That's the problem is that we have to take ourselves out of the decision-making process. Because we can't... God never empowered us to go out and make, you know, major decisions about the way it should be. He empowered us... Okay, when God wanted to tell us how we should live our life, He compared us to an animal. Which animal? Sheep. Someone tell me about sheep. Are they smart animals? The dumbest animal alive. And God says, you guys are sheep. That's how much He thinks of our decision-making ability. Why? Because a sheep is not intended to be out in the wilderness and finding food for itself and killing animals and protecting itself. It's too stupid. A sheep was created to have a shepherd and to be part of a flock and to just go look with its head down and just follow the flock in front of it. Same thing with us. That's the way we were created to be. Wherever we partake of spiritual services, we give, we're giving it to God. So even if the church is misusing it, like I said, that's between the church, whoever's managing those finances, and God. But the thing is that we can't make that decision because no one is informed about it. You know, like for example, like I'm saying, we can't decide. We can't come in from the outside and say, this church is misusing their money. Because no one really knows. You know, as long as we don't know, we can't really say. Answer your question?
I was kidding.
Okay. Yes, Sharif.
Okay. I'm sorry. Again, the same thing. Some Orthodox churches have a model where the money all goes to the diocese and then the diocese.
Okay, that's the ideal.
Why don't we do that?
That is the ideal. What Sharif is saying is the model should be that if you're in a diocese, the money goes to the diocese and the diocese spreads it apart. Okay? Let's take it even a more general step. And in general, let's say it was a perfect world. All the money went to the Pope and the Pope divided it around. That's the ideal system. Yeah, that is the ideal system, but it's not the current system. That doesn't mean that our current system is the right one. That's the way it was in the early church. Everyone went to the apostles with the money, and the apostles divided it amongst them. So I'm sure there were some people in the mix who were saying, yeah, they're not doing right with the money. They're not doing what's right. But they didn't know. So that's why I'm saying we have to trust the judgment of the ones dividing it. Here, like in this specific church, we're not part of a diocese. Okay, so... I mean, technically we're under the shepherding of His Holiness, Pope Shenouda in Egypt, but practically speaking, you know, like the money doesn't, that's not the way it works, you know, on this kind of a, like in this area. If you, let's say you're in the Diocese of Los Angeles, you're in the Diocese of Southern United States, then yeah, that, I believe that's the way it works. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that's the way it works. Where the money goes to the diocese, and the bishop kind of divides it up, and that's the ideal system. But until we're part of a diocese, you know, like, you know, the church is still, it's still coming. You know, it's still working on that. Yes, Martha.
Do they ever do like special fundraising, like the Presbyterian Church would do 1 great hour of sharing once a year for a month, and you give money to the poor and hungry people?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
When is that done?
Well, every now and then, like recently, there was a group doing a clothes drive, or the high school kids, I think it was. Every now and then, things like that come up. Oh, one of the great things that we have is with the Coptic orphans, with specific classrooms who sponsor a child and they collect money for that child. Great things like that. Any other questions? Let's stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank You, our dear Heavenly Father, for bringing us all here together. We thank You, dear Lord, for sharing this message for today. This message of love that You have for us, that You love each one of us so much. And there's nothing that You can stand to see get in the way of our relationship with You. And I know, dear Lord, that You don't need our money. You don't need anything from us. But you just want that not to be a barrier between us. You don't want us to love money more than love you. So as a good and as a loving Father, you ask us to give up that which matters most to us, so we can realize that you should be our first priority in life. Help us, dear Lord, and all my brothers and sisters who are struggling with this issue, who are struggling in their spiritual lives, help us to give more to you, more of our money, more of our time, more of our energy, more of our health, more of our everything that we have, dear Lord, and we know that you will return it more abundantly than we have given. Give us faith, dear Lord, to give and give generously and give without any bitterness or without any resentment. Bless all my brothers and sisters who are standing before you. Bless our church. Bless our Father, Bunab Shoy, Tisoni Irini, all those who ask us, remember them in our prayers. Through our Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions of our Holy Mother, the Mother of Light, St. Mary, through the prayers of St. Mark, and all your saints, hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.